So again, very welcome to our Sangha.
Thank you.
Good to see you.
Darren. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Pleasure to be here. I trust you have all necessary sitting contractions. This is very Christian here. And if you sit on chairs, I would recommend you put something underneath your feet. That just helps. I would like to practice with you. We have a short, condensed format today, and I would like to make most of this. Gary has mentioned that we will ennoble our practice with silence, which is a very useful way of focusing our attention inward. As you are, I'm sure, highly aware, most of our attention is often by necessity drawn outward just to help us cope and survive, and that leaves out protagonist, which is very central in our psychological experience, a character called I, which deserves a lot more attention than he generally gets. Generally, he makes strong appeals, but he doesn't actually like to be observed very much. Any closer observation makes him feel slightly uneasy, and he has good reasons for that uneasy, because he is rather fictional. Nevertheless, he's got a loud voice, and one of meditation's tasks is to look a little bit closer at its mechanics and what stands behind that loud voice. So, rather than inflicting lots of Buddhism on you today, I would suggest we be very, very practical, and I just need to know who is here for a first meditational experience, who has absolutely no experience of meditation, or very, very little. Yeah. Good. There's nothing bad about this. Yeah. It's just I would like to see those people in the very first walking meditation break, and would like to ask you to stay behind. When I send everybody out to walk, I would like you to stay behind so we can have a quick word and speak about some practicalities. Yeah. Good. The schedule, as Gary has pointed out, will be basically sitting with some guidance, standing briefly, and walking meditation alternatively. And I'll be trying to help this along as I can, but essentially this hinges on your willingness and your dedication to do this. Yeah? This is what makes the value of this. Your presence here, your willingness to get engaged with these exercises, and your dedication to basically staying with it. Meditation, this is a big misunderstanding. Meditation is not about technique. Most of what you get in meditation is not the result of technique or method. It's the result of your life. It's how you live. That's what you get when you meditate. You get a feedback. You get the fallout of how you live. And much more crucial than method, although method has its place, much more crucial than method, I think, is attitude. You know? Things like willingness, patience, non-contention, dedication, things like that. You know? So please, from now on, everything that's happening today, this is meditation. Expand your concept of meditation beyond sitting, beyond meditation object, beyond technique, to whatever is happening until you leave King Alfred's today. This is all meditation. Make this part of your meditation. Yeah, that would be my suggestion. Please take up a comfortable and upright posture if you sit on the floor. The trick is to get as much as possible of you onto the mat. If you sit on a chair, make sure that your arms and legs are uncrossed. Make sure that you sit upright. If you do sit, either way, on a chair or on benches or on a cushion, if you follow me by putting the back of your hand in the small of your back, any posture needs to start at this point. If you try to get as much body onto the mat, the next thing you try to make sure that your the small of your back is filled, that you can fill this part with a gentle movement of your pelvis or of your hips. Yeah. And you see that a tiny movement of your hips, tilting them a little bit, fills up the space. Now it's important to keep that space filled there. We don't want this. This is tiresome, it makes for indigestion, it's not pretty, and it makes you tired. So you try to fill the small of your back, and you try to elongate your spine. Imagine you're being pulled up, and this part down here, which you can feel with the back of your hand, stays reasonably erect. It doesn't cave, it doesn't crumble, and it's not concave either. So you fill the lower part of your body with energy, you really entrust the weight of your body through the buttocks onto your sitting contraction, whatever it may be. And you really entrust that weight to the ground beneath you. Next, you try to open your chest. Imagine that the part just above your bronchia, this part is slightly pulled out. If you open your eyes, you make sure that your gaze is level. It's not going down, it's going straight ahead or even a little bit up. So it's as if this part wants to come into the space. Now the trick is to keep the small of your back filled, as we just tried. Yeah, but we do both. This feels artificial for many of us. If you're a keyboard person, or if you're sitting at a desk, or if you're sitting anywhere really, then this may feel artificial. Do not be dismayed by that. Much of what we do just feels normal because we do it again and again. If we start doing other things, these other things will feel normal. So open that part. Check with your gaze. Check that your gaze is horizontal. And now the head. If you close your eyes for a moment, and you can play with your chin. You can pull your chin in, and it will lengthen the back of your neck. You will lengthen your cervical vertebrae. And then you push your chin in the other direction. Something else happens. Yeah, the throat area will get all soft and wonderful, relaxed. But some of the vertebrae are pinched. So there is this path of the chin from one extreme. You can hear the sound of my voice to the other extreme. Try that out. Really exaggerate. Just to get a feeling what is possible. Somewhere in between these two possibilities is a point where the head has the least amount of weight, and the tone of your muscles, both in your throat area and in your neck, the back of your neck to be more precise, is comparable. So whenever we speak of posture, whenever we start a period of meditation, make sure you get as much of your body onto the sitting mat as possible. You fill the lower part of your lumbar vertebrae. You make sure that this is full, small of your back is filled out. You raise your sternum so that the energy of the upper part of the chest comes into the space. You make sure your gaze is level, and you look for the place with your chin, with movements of your chin, you look for the place the head has the least amount of weight. Now this is not something you do once and then you've figured it out and then it stays that way. This is something you keep doing. This is something you go back during meditation. This is something definitely you do every time you sit down to start a period of meditation. It's quite okay to spend several minutes on this. In fact, while doing this, you will learn how to get in touch with your current state. Current state of body, current state of mind, current state of your emotions. So much for posture. Let us dedicate the day, let us dedicate our energies to clarifying what we can do to be happier, clarifying what we can do to make others happier, clarifying what we can do to make the mind relax and find a stillness that is already inside, a stillness that is there. This is what we like to dedicate our day's practice to. Awakening in the broadest sense, stilling the mind, clarifying what's going on in there. So let's take stock. Let's take stock of what we can actually know right now. If we renounce all constructs of our person from the past, all plans of our lives for the future, what is it what I can know right now, immediately? There are the sounds I can hear, there are the sensations, both on the outside of the body and in the inside. There are smells, maybe tastes or the echoes of the taste. There is that which I can touch with my hands. There are visual phenomena, even though my eyes are closed. It gets a lot simpler if I discount thinking about I and me and myself, if I discount thinking about past and future, if I try to direct my attention to what I can know right now in this moment, my world and my life gets a lot more simple. Let us try to do that. Whenever you find the mind is thinking, planning, remembering, fretting, hankering, let's agree with each other that we try to place the awareness of the mind on the breathing process, what we feel of the breath at the lowest part of its movement into the body and out of the body. Try to find out with a gentle, welcoming awareness where this lowest area is in the body where you can feel the breath coming and the breath going. It is at that point, probably somewhere in your belly, that you cradle the breath, that you hold, that you, with both open hands, as if you receive the weight of each breath going there, feeling it, and gently accompanying it as it finds its release, as the movement finds its release. Receiving it, welcoming the breath and its sensations, and gently staying with it while it stays, changes while it stays, and if it decides to ebb away, you let it go equally gently, receiving, following, letting go. Let's try to do this. receiving the sensations, becoming aware of them, feeling them, following them, and letting them go. Make sure you do not observe the breath or watch the breath. Try to feel it. Try to actually settle the focus of your awareness. Settle it in the area of the body where you feel the sensations of the breath. I'm speaking of a feeling, of a tactile, of a somatic process, which I'd like you to invite into your consciousness by feeling it, by being present with it. Sometimes meditators use the metaphor of seeing or observing or watching. This is useful, but it creates a very specific relationship. If you establish a relationship on the basis of touch, on the basis of actual feeling, of following a sensation, then this is a very different relationship. Right now, we are interested in establishing a feeling relationship. Feeling the sensation of breathing in the body, feeling it coming, growing, receding, subsiding. And we accompany this movement, our little sensations. We follow this movement as early as we can until as late as we can. When the mind thinks, comments, strays off, makes shopping lists, writes epistles, whatever, we bring it back to the breath and to its sensations. No grumbling. No judgments. Just bringing it back, taking it back to the breath and its sensations, as we would take a child back by the hands. Come, come and look here. Stretch your legs for a moment. I'd like you to stand up and do some standing meditation. This is a much underused posture. I like to emphasize a canonical posture of that for meditation. It's also very discreet. And
easily integrated in everyday practice while your neighbors, when you start walking up and down mindfully, might be tempted to lock you up. You can do a lot of discreet meditation while standing. So, make sure you stand with your legs about shoulder width apart. If you have masculine shoulders, and if you have women's shoulders, maybe a tiny bit further apart. So, and then you test out where the weight goes, so that you use the complete length of your foot for meditation. For standing, distributing the weight so that the complete length of the foot, not just the habitual front third, is being used. If you have an option, standing hard or standing soft, try out what suits you better. It goes without saying that this is a brilliant connection with walking meditation. So distributing weight in both feet, distributing the weight on the complete length of the foot. And as with the posture before, it's often necessary that we go to some extremes, that we kind of plumb one extreme and then fathom the other polar extreme to see what it actually does. If you have low blood pressure, feel dizzy, it's okay to sit down any time. Yeah? Don't try to be heroic or so on this one. Standing. Now look whether there is a way that you could adjust knee, hips, shoulders, that they all come in line with the space that both feet occupy. Obviously, the telltale sign for this is that you do not need much muscular effort. So one way of finding out an optimal posture is seeing whether I can release muscles, calves, thighs, buttocks, pelvic floor, belly, thumbs, shoulders, feel the weight of my arms and hands. The tone, the muscular tone in my neck and in my throat area is ideally even. So is there a posture I can find for my head, again with gentle moves of my chin, that leaves me with an even muscular tone in my throat and in my neck area? Knees neither locked nor really bent, but something in between, looking for this, an anatomical zero position. And again, here it may help if you imagine as if you were pulled upwards, suspended like a string puppet. And as within sitting, we breathe into the belly, feel the breath widening, realize awareness accompanying the breath and its sensations, standing from the belly and breathing into the belly. If tension builds up in our shoulders or anywhere in the body, try to gently breathe through that part rather than fight the tension or struggle. Try to acknowledge the sensation. Receive the sensation, even though it is unpleasant. And see whether you can sense some of the force that comes from breathing out into the area that hurts or that feels knotted. Take note for a moment of that paradoxical qualities of sensations, the heaviness in the lower part of the body, the solidity, and maybe the lightness, the dexterity, the malleable nature of my posture in the upper part. Bodies are capable of holding totally contradictory sensations at the same time. This is in itself amazing. Try doing that with your head, holding contradictory ideas at the same time. So there it is, heavy and light. Standing, loosening muscles, breathing. Please stretch for a moment. I like to suggest a half an hour period of walking meditation, as long as the weather holds. I understand the ground may be a tad muddy here and there, so be mindful where you put your foot. Other than that, you know the premises. Walking meditation is, it looks funnier than it is, actually. underestimated meditation practice, because we often compare it with sitting. And while we have been sitting a maximum degree of physical stillness, closed eyes, kind of test situation, walking generates a less obvious type of collectedness of mind. It generates a type of attentiveness and a resilience in such attentiveness that is more fluid. It can handle more distractions because we're in motion, because there are sounds, we have our eyes open. So there is a natural challenge through more sensory activity that often translates to the uninformed observer as less concentration, yeah, quote unquote. It feels like it's not as good as it is when I sit. Now don't be fooled by that thought. Walking meditation has a very, very powerful effect on the mind's ability to sustain attention on objects. Even though it may feel less dramatic in samadhi or in terms of collectedness, it is actually a lot more applicable in many ways to our everyday lives than maybe sitting meditation. Precisely because the task is to stay with a chosen object of awareness while performing things like walking and looking. So please do not underestimate this, just as a sort of general preface. Walking hinges on the fact that we have a clearly defined stretch. Straight lines, please. No eights, no circles, no walks, no irregular dodecahedrons or something. Just straight lines. And you connect your awareness with the sensation in your feet. That's the primary, most tangible object. So as the feet are weighted And as the feet roll, and as the weight goes off the foot, our awareness stays and takes note of the change in sensation in the soles of our feet. That is the primary object. Now you walk slow. It doesn't have to be Burmese absolute slow motion, but you walk slower than you would under probably most circumstances in your life. And if you find the sensations too confusing, you slow down even more. You make sure that you have very clear endpoints. That isn't crucial. And at the latest, at your endpoint, you take stock whether the mind is with the body. If it is not there, this is the moment to kind of reel it back and embody it. And bring it, scan through your posture. You may stand for a moment, and then you walk back. You may also just try to stop and stand. If something happens, if you feel that this is helping you ground, it's perfectly all right to stand at any moment and just do what we have done right now. Yeah? Does somebody ring us a bell at 11:30?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah? So we'll be back, heal the bell, 11:30, we'll be back 5 minutes later. And if the newcomers or those interested, particularly in postural questions, could stay behind, I'll have a word with you now. Thank you.